Grizzlies snap that losing streak in style in an offensive outburst at FedEx Forum, helmed by Mike Conley. You'll hear from Mike. We'll talk a little bit about this one as you are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into this edition of Locked On Grizzlies post game. My name is Peter Edmiston, and the Grizzlies were winners for the first time in a while. It's been a, you know how it is. You guys are fans. You're listening. You know what's going on with these guys. It's been up and down, and this was an up. They took on a Pacers team tonight that, frankly, was not especially interested in the game. Now, they should have been, considering their playoff situation and the fact that they are not too far away from dropping out of the playoffs altogether in the East, but they are in a bit of a mental mess right now. And so the Grizzlies took full advantage of it, even considering the fact the Grizzlies missed their starting front court. Marcus Gasol and JaMychal Green both missing this game. JaMychal Green a fairly late scratch with a shoulder problem, and Marcus Gasol now missing his third consecutive game with this left foot strain. No real timetable given on Marcus Gasol's return. I spoke with David Fizdale about it pregame, and he's just simply said that it was a frustrating situation, but there was no timetable and no idea. So you, me, everyone else, we will have to wait and see what happens with Mark. But the Grizzlies didn't need him tonight. Didn't need JaMychal Green. Didn't need much of anybody other than Mike Conley, who just went absolutely nuts offensively. Very fired up Mike Conley tonight. And, you know, you like to see that from Mike. This is a guy that needs to perform. And especially with Marcus Gasol out, I mean, a big weight gets laid across the shoulders of Mike Conley to score. And tonight, certainly, he did just that. 36 points, 13 of 21 from the field, 7 of 12 from behind the arc, 6 assists and 4 steals to go along with that, and just the one turnover. Again, this was a very compliant Pacers team, but take nothing away from Mike's effort. 38 minutes, and he really felt like he needed this one on a personal level. And I had a chance to speak with Mike about this game and about what he felt like the team needed after some poor results. Maybe not necessarily bad effort, but bad results on this road trip. Needed to get things straight, and he said it was very, very important to him.
Our approach to certain games have been a little bit lackadaisical at times, and even when I was playing well tonight, you see, like, I wasn't celebrating. I was just, it means a lot. You know, this game was a must win. I felt like if we didn't win this, we weren't going to make the playoffs. That was that important, you know. So it was all business, and just wanted to get everybody's mind on that same level. And I thought everybody came out and did the same thing. I mean, everybody was engaged. Everybody played at that level, and we're going to need that if we're going to be successful going down the stretch.
Do you have to do more of that with Mark out and take more of a leadership role in terms of just, you know, getting everybody on that same page? Because it's a little bit of a different feel, not just with the lineups and the spacing, but just in general.
Well, yeah, I know I have to, you know, do a lot more with the leadership side with Mark being out and even JaMychal going out. I mean, we have different guys in and out of lineups. I got to make sure everybody's together. I got to make sure that everybody's engaged. And I thought, you know, over the four-game losing streak, we actually were as together as we've been in those kind of situations. And even coming in tonight, it just carried over. That ability to stay together through the adversity and the hard times showed tonight that, you know, when things are going well, we can do it. You know, just believe it, and soon it'll come. And I'm just happy that we got this one tonight, because we definitely needed it.
It has really been interesting to see the evolution of Mike Conley over not just his career arc, but really this year, because he's taken much more of a leadership role on over the last few weeks, off the court and on the court. You know, he was at shoot around, you know, Tony Allen was talking a little bit in the post game and said that, you know, Mike wasn't doing a whole lot of shooting at shoot around. And he kind of asked, you know, what's the deal? What's going on? Are you okay? And he said that Mike told him he was saving them for the game. and that he was really locked in and he was going to get a bunch up. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, you know, without Marc Gasol, but, you know, even without Jermichael Green, you know, two starters, it was important for Mike to get going. And it was important for Mike to do his thing. And the Grizzlies needed the win. It didn't matter if they played Pacers, whoever. They needed to get a win. And as we talked about, just kind of needed to wash away the bad taste of that road trip, the bad taste of that Kings game. Just need to get some positive vibes going. And FedEx Forum was the spot. 16,000 were there. It was interesting to see the lineup that David Fizdell chose to go with right out of the gate, and we'll talk about that after we talk about our friends at SeatGeek. And SeatGeek, I'm sure, helped a few folks that were down at FedEx Forum tonight to get those fabulous seats. I'm sure they helped a lot of folks that got their seats for the NCAA tournament. I'm sure they helped a lot of folks get their seats for a lot of different things. That's what SeatGeek does. SeatGeek helps you get your seats. SeatGeek helps you find all the events that you're out there. And if you want to get those tickets, man, SeatGeek makes it super easy. Get the app. All you've got to do is take your phone, if you got iPhone, Android, whatever, take your tablet, even on the desktop, but you can go and get the app on your devices. I think that's really the easiest way to do it. Download it. It's free, and you will start to look around, and once you do and you kind of poke around, you'll see instantly seating charts for the events that you need, for the buildings that you want to go to. You'll see color-coded dots that indicate how good the deal is, because SeatGeek has a proprietary algorithm that scours all of the deal sites so you don't have to. You don't have to go to 8, 9, 10 different deal sites and figure out which one's the best. SeatGeek does that for you, checks the market to make sure that there is a great deal for you. So when you see that green dot, you know that across the board, that's a great deal. That's a good price. You're going to get a good price for those tickets, and you're going to be able to get those tickets very easily. Plus, if you use the promo code LOGRIZZLIES, you're going to save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. It really is that simple. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code LOGRIZZLIES in the settings tab. It's right on the side. You click on settings, put in LOGRIZZLIES. You are good to go. SeatGeek is going to help you save some money. It's going to help the pod. It's going to help just get you into whatever event you want to go to. NBA playoffs rolling around. Perfect time to get those tickets from SeatGeek. Again, go to the SeatGeek app. Any of the app stores, download it. Use promo code LOGRIZZLIES. Save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Help yourself out with our friends at SeatGeek. I mentioned the starting lineup. And because of the injuries to Marc Gasol and Jermichael Green, obviously you have to make some changes. And David Fizdell went with a little bit, perhaps, of an unusual lineup, at least in terms of the Grizzlies, with Conley, Tony Allen, no surprise there. But then James Ennis starting at the 3, Vince Carter starting at the 4, and Brandon Wright starting at the 5. So you've got probably, you've got a heck of a lot more spacing out there. You've got Brandon Wright giving you a lot of mobility at that center spot, and it still allows you to bring Zach Randolph in off the bench in a probably a role that, you know, while Zach would be hesitant to admit it, is a role that suits him better at this stage. You know, we talked about it yesterday on the pod. The Grizzlies, when Zach starts, they turn into the slowest team in the NBA by a mile. That's the nature of Zach. It's the nature of what he's done. That's his style. That's what he's gotten used to. And the Grizzlies, when he's out there, they get used to playing in that same way. That's just what happens. So it's kind of a default. So I think David Fizdell probably, you know, looked at that situation, looked at what he wanted the Grizzlies to do, and decided that it was better to start Brandon Wright. That was my suggestion yesterday, that the Grizzlies start Brandon Wright no matter what. And I think it really paid off. You saw a great start. Grizzlies off to a 12-3 start in this ballgame right out of the gate, up 24-7. A huge, huge first quarter, scoring 38 points, could have easily been in the 40s. And from there, they cruised 72 first-half points for the Grizzlies, and this thing was a laugher. The starting lineup, I thought, was very productive for the Grizzlies. And it was productive especially because it allowed Mike Conley to do his thing. You know, Vince, to provide that spacing, hit 4 threes. And by the way, Vince Carter moved into 22nd on the NBA's all-time scoring list, which is a heck of an accomplishment. Congratulations to Vince for doing that. He had 21 points and 8 rebounds tonight. Not a bad starting four for the Grizzlies. But Vince doing that allowed Mike Conley really to have the kind of space that he hasn't always had. But that's what Fizdale wants. That's what he wants. That's what he envisioned for Mike Conley when this whole thing was put together and when they thought they were going to get Chandler Parsons and have him kind of be in the mix. That's what they wanted, was the opportunity to put, you know, three guys out there along with Mike and Mark that could theoretically space the floor. Now, Brandon Wright isn't a stretch five, but he is a rim-running five, and he does allow you to play pick-and-roll. He's an excellent pick-and-roll big, and that combined with other guys that can stretch the floor will help. Now, Tony Allen still is somewhat problematic, but Fizdale talked about after the game how he felt like guys weren't cutting with the kind of ferocity that he wanted to see when they weren't getting the ball on this road trip. And Tony, you know, is a cutter extraordinaire. It was a much better effort tonight, not just from him, but from everybody, you know, cutting. And that opens up space in a different way. This was really just the design that Mike Conley, you know, Fizdale wants Conley to be, you know, not quite Russell Westbrook. He's not going to have 57 points in a triple-double like Westbrook did against the Magic on Wednesday. But Mike can be a big-time scorer. And tonight's 36 was pretty easy, really. Came on 21 shots, hit 7 threes, took 12. All the threes were pretty much in rhythm. There weren't any threes that seemed rushed or, you know, particularly bad, maybe one. But everything was pretty smooth. And heck, Mike only got to the foul line 3 times, and that was on that one 3-point shot that he kind of threw up. You know, otherwise he pretty well was camped out, didn't have to drive tons to the basket. When he did, he didn't have a whole lot of resistance from the Pacers. And Mike's developed that little throw up the three when you're getting fouled thing. He's really mastered that over the last couple of months. And you pretty much, he's almost good for one of those a game at this stage. And every little bit helps when it comes to scoring your points. But this lineup was designed to get Mike Conley going. And that's exactly what happened. He played really, really well in this ball game. Zach was effective off the bench with 17-6, which is what you want to see from him. The only real downside was Troy Daniels, who really could not shoot, had great looks and just couldn't make them. 1 of 7 from three. He ends up a minus 17 in a 13-point Grizzly win, which is a heck of an achievement in its own way, coming off the bench. But this was a nice performance. Grizzlies get to 110 on the scoreboard, 110-97, the final. Anytime the Grizzlies can score 110, and hell, they scored 110, scoring 14 points in the fourth quarter in pretty extended garbage time. You know, that was 110, and it should have, I mean, easily could have been 120 and probably should have been 125 even. So it was a smooth, simple 110 for the Grizzlies, and they needed to. The offense has been in decline. If you look at the Grizzlies' last few scores on this road trip, 82, 90, 94, 90. That's what the Grizzlies scored on the road trip. So to get back to 110, they haven't scored 110 since that win against Milwaukee that snapped the other losing streak, a 5-game losing streak. You know, that was another, this is kind of a win that was similar in some respects, although Milwaukee, a much better team at the time than the Pacers happened to be. The Pacers are now under 500, but, you know, frankly, they came in just reeling. We talked about it yesterday, and they showed no signs of being especially interested in trying to fight against the narrative that their season is kind of falling apart right in front of them. They were right, as I mentioned, from the tip, down 12-3 before you could really blink your eyes, and it never really got any better for them, and they never really looked like they wanted to fight at all. I think they cut it to 10 at one point, but that was pretty much it. So now for the Grizzlies, an interesting stretch. The home stretch. This is it. 7 games left. Dallas tomorrow night. A very interesting matchup. Just because Dallas can theoretically cause the Grizzlies some personnel issues, as we saw in the game earlier at Dallas, earlier in the month, when the Grizzlies lost 104-100, and Nerlens Noel really caused a lot of problems for Marc Gasol. Don't know if Mark's going to be able to play in this ballgame or not, but if not, I think the Grizzlies are probably going to stick with a lineup and a rotation similar to the one that they threw out there in the ballgame against the Pacers. After the game against Dallas, then the final two road games of the season at the Lakers and at the Spurs coming up over the weekend and early next week, then home for a 4-game homestand that ends the season and one that they really ought to be able to have little problems with. Oklahoma City, Knicks, Pistons, Mavs. So they play the Mavs twice in these final 7 games. The Thunder is that's the game that you're going to focus on quite heavily, rightly so. That could, in theory at least, be a decider from a seeding standpoint. David Fizdale did tell me earlier today that he would be open to and would be fine with sitting Mike Conley down once their seed position was decided, one way or the other. 6-7, whatever it is. I'm guessing it's probably going to end up being 7 based on the Thunder and their performance and all that, but you never know. If it gets to the point, though, that it's decided, that it's like, you know, in the books, that's the way it's going to be, then he said he'd be happy to rest guys heading into the postseason. And those games, Knicks, Pistons, Mavericks, certainly would give you an opportunity to do that and probably still win those games because those teams are going to be playing for absolutely squadoosh, I would imagine. Pistons maybe sneaking in there. Dallas, no. Knicks, certainly not. So that should give you an opportunity to do that if that happens to be the case. With the Warriors coming back and beating the Spurs on Wednesday, that pretty much will do it for the Spurs' opportunity to end up as the top seed in the West. And I think then you'll see probably... Could be that Pop rests a lot of guys for that game, actually, the Grizzlies go to San Antonio. We'll see. But it could be that is the case. I think otherwise you'd have to kind of you certainly don't like the Grizzlies' chances in that ball game. But if the Spurs happen to be locked into their seed and they decide they want to take a little bit of a powder and rest some guys, then the Grizzlies may end up sneaking one out over there. That's why this time of year is hard to really evaluate. You see oftentimes, and it happens every year, where there are certain guys that play really well in March and April and that kind of boost up their stock a little bit. I'll never forget Torrance Kinsey being the rookie of the year, or the rookie of the month, rather, in April of 2007, only to never really be heard from again. You see guys playing well late in seasons. Games are kind of weird at this time of year. So it's hard to predict what teams are going to be able to do, what they're going to, what they're going to offer. I mean, the Grizzlies are going to go to Los Angeles. The Lakers are just tanking, unabashed tanking. They're not even trying to hide it. Teams have different motivations this time of year. That's part of it. That's why it's pretty hard to predict what's going to happen in March and April. You just kind of know from the Grizzlies' standpoint, they're probably going to have to win 5 of the 7 to have a realistic chance, in one of those having to be against Oklahoma City. Gonna have to win 5 of the 7, I think, to have a realistic chance to catch and overtake Oklahoma City for that that 6th spot. That would probably maybe give you a chance, but you're going to need some stumbles. Thunder tried on Wednesday, took overtime, and it took a Herculean effort from Russell Westbrook, but they won 114-106 against the Magic, 57-point triple-double. Good Lord. For Russell Westbrook. On the pod tomorrow, by the way, you will hear our good friend Kevin Leip of the Memphis Flyer. I had an extensive chat with Kevin about lots of stuff, and really kind of a, it's kind of an out there, more philosophical kind of discussion of the Grizzlies. You'll hear that tomorrow on the pod. Looking forward to playing that for you guys, so you can you can evaluate it and figure out what you think. Because I think we bring up some really meaty long-term issues for the Grizzlies, and I would suspect you're going to want to hear it, and you may have some strong reaction for both me and Kevin. So I hope you get a chance to listen to that. That will be on the pod tomorrow. In the meantime, I want to say a big thank you to everybody, and especially our friends at Grizz Essentials, for their continued support of the pod. Thanks to you guys for subscribing and downloading. And if you have not checked out Grizz Essentials, my goodness, you are missing out. They are awesome. Great packages, great people. And they're going to give you a box. Not just any box, but a box of goodies. A box of Grizz goodies. A box of unique Grizz goodies. A box of special, unique Grizz goodies. Stuff that you can only get from them. Go to GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies to find out more, to see what they've got, to check out the t-shirts that they've got, to check out the artwork that they've got, to check out the cool gear they've got, sunglasses. You may get some of that. You may get a hat. You may get a mug. Who knows? Who knows? That's the mystery. That's the magic. That's the fun. But you'll get something every month, and you'll get your first month free using the promo code VC43. That's only for this week. And it's especially cool because VC and a three passed a lot of folks, and he's now 22nd on the NBA's scoring list. VC43, spell it all out, VC43. That gets you a free month from Grizz Essentials. Go to GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies to take advantage of that great deal. Thanks so much for listening to the pod. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Edmiston. Thanks again, and we'll chat again tomorrow here on Locked On Grizzlies.